I want to talk to us tonight on a topic that a lot of churches, a lot of preachers, a lot of people don't want to talk to you about, but it's called living with limitations. Living with limitations. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, standing in honor of the reading of God's Word, and the Word of the Lord reads, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Thank God for that last verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. If he didn't come looking for me, I'd have never found him. Is that the truth tonight? Amen. If the Lord didn't come looking for me, I'd have never found him. So thank God the Son of Man came to seek that which was lost. If you bow your heads with me tonight, King Jesus, we thank you, God, for your wonderful presence. We thank you, God, for the promise of God, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, the hour has come when the word of God must go forth, and we desire more than anything that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would reside upon your servant. Help us, God, to deliver the word that you've given us for this hour. God, that each and every soul in this building might be blessed. Every person that might hear this message by tape, everyone that might hear it on the internet, we pray, God, that their heart would be challenged, that their hearts would be lifted up. Lord, that they would realize there is hope in the midst of a hopeless world. God, grant us a mighty service and a mighty move of the Holy Ghost in this place, even tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God and amen. You may be seated today. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was a man of very short stature. He couldn't do anything to help this fact, nor did he do anything that caused this fact. You know, sometimes there are aspects of who we are that we did not contribute to. Amen. And we can't do anything about them. You didn't choose it. You were born there. That's where you were. That's where you found yourself when your eyes opened for the first time outside of your mother's womb on planet Earth. You found yourself in certain situations that you cannot change. You didn't have anything to do with putting yourself there, and you certainly can't do anything to get yourself out of it. It's unfortunate that the church today doesn't want to recognize that there are people in this world who love God and want to serve God. But you know what? They have found themselves in a place in their life that they did not ask for, nor can they change. My Lord have mercy. It's okay that I said that. I'm talking tonight about living with limitations. Now, we generally have, when everybody's here today, I don't know what the problem is, but we have a mixed group of folks, black, white, everybody. So if I talk real plain about some issues, y'all don't, nobody get offended, because you know I'm understanding the situation. Tommy, when you woke up first day on planet Earth and looked down your little hand and it was dark skin. You didn't choose that. You didn't say to God before you come down, Lord, I believe I want to be born black.
Right. Amen. That's right.
No, you're just born black.
Right.
Now this sister here, Sister Smith, she didn't say, Lord, when I'm born, I want to be born a woman.
That's right.
I don't want to be born a man. I want to be born a woman. When my mother woke up this morning, she couldn't choose what age she wanted to be. She is what she is.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of women might say, well, I'm 30 now, and I'm 30 or 20 now. You know how they try to just make that milk it and make it last for years and years. But you see, the point I'm trying to make to you is there are aspects of who we are that we cannot change. And sometimes those aspects of who we are become obstacles for us in our lives. People of color know when you're born black, unfortunately, sometimes that becomes an obstacle to you in your life as you're trying to achieve and as you're trying to get somewhere in life. There are people who have idiotic notions about black folk that want to hold you back and keep you down, and they don't want to help you along, and they don't want to try to see you achieve something. But you didn't choose. I didn't choose to be black. I didn't choose to be a woman. Because, you know, there are people out there who feel the same way about women.
Yes, that's right.
Mom trying to get a job. She's got a job, and she's trying to get a better job.
Yes.
But you know what? When you get to be her age, they don't want to hire somebody your age for these other jobs. No, they figure, well, you're too old. You're too old. Now, you might can do that job as good as anybody.
Right.
But they figure, now you're too old now. I don't want to hire somebody that age because I think you're too old. You see, there are aspects of who we are that become an obstacle to us that we did not choose. We did not choose to be in this situation. We did not choose to be in this place. But guess what, baby? We're here.
Right.
Zacchaeus knew what it was to live with limitations. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was a very short little fella. But when Jesus was coming by, he wanted so much to see the Lord that he did not allow his limitation. He did not allow the situation that he had been born into to hold him back. He said, glory to God, I see a sycamore tree. I'll just climb that tree. But one way or another, I'm going to see Jesus. Glory to God. I like people have that attitude. I've met young folks, you know, they say, brother, there's people out there that just because I'm a young black man, they don't want to help me up. They want to try to hold me down. But I'll tell you what, one way or another, I'm going to get where I'm going. As long as there's a sycamore tree in my path, I'll get where I want to be. Because who I am is not going to hold me down. I'm going to get where I'm going. Glory to God, amen. Our limitations today may cause us great difficulty in life, but still, there's nothing we can do, at least within our own power, to change those limitations. Oh, but thank God for the grace of God that brings salvation. For our human limitations today are not obstacles to our Maker, but rather they are opportunities for Him to show forth His love and His grace in spite of our glaring faults.
Right.
Amen. Love these churches trying to preach people perfect. I got news for you. I've been preaching 20 years. You ain't never going to preach nobody perfect. You ain't never going to happen. My Bible says you're born in sin. You're shaken in iniquity. The minute you're born into human form, the moment you take on a human body, honey, there ain't nothing you're ever going to do to be perfect. Somewhere along the line, you got to learn to live with certain limitations. Now, I'm not saying you got to let every limitation hold you back, but I'm saying sometimes you've got to accept your lot in life. You've got to accept who you are. It's foolish to live your life and try to be something you're not. You ever see some? I can't stand to see some of these young people. You got young folk, black folk trying to be white. You got white kids trying to be black. You got Hispanic kids trying to be Asian. You got Asian kids trying to be. It's like, good God Almighty, can't you just learn to be yourself? Be comfortable with yourself. Be happy with yourself. There ain't nothing wrong with you, baby. When you try and act like something else, you're telling the world that there's something wrong with the way God made you. There ain't nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong. There is nothing in your life that is a greater obstacle than God. There is nothing in your life that God can't deal with. And we need to teach our young people, help our young people understand they need to accept themselves. Stand proud and tall and be glad for who they are. Whatever their lot in life, whatever their situation in life, don't try to be something that you're not, because there's only pain and woe down the road when you pursue that path. Amen. A lot of people out of church today because churches didn't like who they were. I don't like what they are. I don't like who they are. I don't like what you are either, you two-bit hypocrite. Amen. But you know what? I ain't kicking you out of church, so keep your mouth shut and leave the other one alone. And let them serve God, and let them come to church, and let them be a child of God, and let them work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And if their issue ain't your issue, then leave it alone. Well, yeah, but I think that one over there gay. That's what I think. I think, well, I don't care what you think. Leave them alone. If it ain't your issue, it ain't your battle.
That's right.
Come on now. Amen. If it ain't your issue, it ain't your battle. Jesus said, you're nothing but a fool if you think you're going to pull a beam out of somebody else, a toothpick out of somebody else's eye when you got a beam in your own.
Amen.
If it isn't your battle, then leave it alone. Let that person fight it out with God. Let that person find what they need with God. If they find peace with God, then let them find peace with God.
Right.
It's not your business.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. Oh, but no, God delivers from every limitation. Hallelujah, glory to God. Why, brother, God delivers from everything that'll hold you back. And He'll deliver you from everything that'll hold you from getting where you need to go. That's interesting. I know a lot of folks that would tell you that if God would have turned them white, it made their life a lot easier. But He didn't. Hello? I know a lot of people tell you, if the Lord made me a man instead of a woman, my life would be a lot easier. But guess what? They didn't wake up one morning with extra equipment. See, it's all well and good to say God will change people and God will make them something that's different than what they are. It's all well and good to say that when it's what you think God is willing to change. But when other areas that you don't think God is, well, but God ain't interested in changing them from a man to a woman, even though that might help them to have a better life, and even though that might help them to achieve more in their lives. Well, then why in the world do you think God's going to change them from this to that? Well, because that thing out there, that's where I draw the line. That's where I think God wants to change them. And that's where I say, do you have that limitation? Do you have that problem? Well, no, bless God, not me. Then leave it alone. Then leave it alone. Zacchaeus didn't need to be put up on a stretching rack. You remember them old racks they used to use for torture treatment, you know? They put somebody on it and they tether their hands and their feet, and then they start turning the wheels on either end and try to stretch them out taller. He wound up looking like a monkey with his arms just scraping against the... It don't do nothing for your torso. All it does is stretch out your arms till they break off.
Yeah.
Let's see. Zacchaeus didn't need to pursue that kind of treatment. He didn't need to pursue that kind of torture just to be taller. Zacchaeus needed to learn to live within his limitations. He needed to accept himself for who he was and know that God would still find him if he would make some effort at finding God. My Bible said, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I got churches today telling people, you're not welcome in our church. You can't come into our church because we don't like who you are. But the reality is, if that person, look tonight, how many people aren't even here tonight looking for God? You think that if God has people out there who are willing to go to church and look for him, that he doesn't want you to keep your big hypocrite mouth shut and let them in and let them find him? My word, have mercy. Well, we just pick and choose who we want in the door because that person don't want to be delivered. That's his problem. That's why he ain't got delivered, because he don't want to be delivered. I got news for you. If ever there was a man on the face of planet Earth who wanted to be delivered, it was the man Apostle Paul. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I want you to know, listen to me, God does not deliver from every single limitation that we might face in our life. Hello now. Just because you're short, God ain't going to make you tall. Just because you're black, God ain't going to make you white. Just because you're a woman, God ain't going to make you a man. Just because you're gay, God ain't going to make you straight. Did he say that? Yes, I did. Bible said three times Paul asked God, deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me. And what was God's answer? Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. When you finally learn what grace is all about, you come to understand that your limitations are only limitations to you. They're not limitations to me. And when you start living with your limitations and stop letting your limitations hinder you, you'll find out that though your arm may be short, if you'll reach out toward heaven, God will reach back toward you. Hallelujah. Even though your leg may not be lengthened, if you'll start walking toward the Lord, he's going to meet you halfway and start walking back toward you. Oh, hallelujah. When the prodigal son was on his way home, the Bible said the father looked and saw him afar off, and he ran and he met him. I'm telling you, when you start walking toward Jesus, Jesus starts walking toward you. I don't care if you're a cripple. I don't care if you're limping. I don't care if you're wounded. So why should the church not hinder people from coming to church and trying to serve God, whoever they may be? That's why. Because they're making what effort they can within their limitations. I say, God help me always be a preacher that can accept people for who they are and not look at everybody and say, well, God can change them. If I hear that statement one more time out of somebody's lips, amen, I get tired of that mess. God can change them. Oh, God can change them. God can change her. Honey, God can make the daytime night and make the nighttime day, but he doesn't do it. God could have delivered Paul from this infirmity that he identified as a spiritual influence in his life. He called it a messenger of Satan.
sent to buffet me. God could have delivered him from this, but instead, he said, Paul, recognize this as a lesson in grace, honey. Recognize this limitation. Every time you see it, every time you feel it, every time you hear it, recognize it as something that the devil thought he was going to put you in hell with, but the grace of God reached out and scooped you up instead and kept you in his arms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoa. The Lord didn't require Paul to overcome this satanic thorn in the flesh, but rather he asked Paul to learn to accept it as an agent for the grace of God in his life. Where one lives so sinless a life that no faults, no failures, no weaknesses can be found, honey, when you live in like that, the need for grace no longer exists. Come on now. When you're so perfect, you live in the rule, you live in the code. Tommy's folks come from a religious background, all about rules and regulations, you know. You got to do everything just a certain way, or else it's going to be trouble. But you know what? If it was as easy as all that, then there'd be no need for grace. There'd be no need for grace. Zacchaeus not only had limitations, not only was he a short man, but on top of that, he had a reputation as a man of less than ethical morals and substandard business practices. Ooh, a short man with a bad reputation. My Lord, have mercy. But for all this, when he heard that Jesus was passing by Zacchaeus, wanted to catch a glimpse of this miracle-working man from Galilee. So he did what he had to do. Oh, thank God. Children, sometime you gotta do what you got to do. Hallelujah. When one church tells you you're not welcome there, then you find you another church. Hallelujah. But you do what you got to do. Don't you stop. Don't you let the devil use your limitations against you. Climb that sycamore tree. Do what you got to do. Hallelujah. He did what he had to do to be able to view the Lord from above the passing throngs of people. He climbed that tree. So it is for us today. If we have any hopes of seeing Jesus, we must learn to live with our limitations, not allowing them to overtake us and rob us of our faith. But we need to climb that tree that's called Calvary's cross until we have seen the Master and the Creator of the universe face to face. Hallelujah. Just climb up that tree. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Oh, I hear preachers talk about it. I hear television preachers preach about it, but they don't even know what it's saying. For by grace are ye saved through faith. See, we use the term saved, and I appreciate it because I grew up in the Pentecostal church. I do it all the time myself. I'm saved. My sister said, saved, E-D, saved, that means done, it's over. Sanctified, it's over. Filled with the Holy Ghost, right? We do that. I understand that. I'm not making fun of that. But you see, there's an inherent problem with that language. Because then when we read the scriptures, we read where Paul said, for ye are saved, E.D., through faith, by grace, through faith. And we look at that and we apply that to ourselves as though what he's saying is that I was saved through faith, by grace. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Honey, when you get to the end of this journey and the trump of God blows and wakens you from your restful sleeping place, you're going to be saved. You hear me now? You're going to be saved. And the only way you're going to be saved is by the grace of God. And it's going to be because of the faith that you exercise when you walk in this life and you call yourself saved, even though you weren't yet saved, because the Bible says that God calls those things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. That's why he called Abraham the father of many nations, even when Abraham had a barren wife. We call ourselves saved by faith. When we say, I'm saved, that's a declaration of faith. It's not a fact. You ain't in heaven, honey. Till you get into heaven, you ain't saved. Come on now. Till you get where the enemy can no more touch you. Till you get where sin no more can stain you. Till you get where temptation can no more affect you. Until you get to that point where the devil is so far from you that he will never again torment your soul. Until you get to that place, you're not saved. But you're on the rolls for the rapture. So that on that morning you will be. You hear what I'm telling you now? That's the truth of God. And you're going to get there by the grace of God. Not by your works. Not by what you did. Not by how you did it. Not by whether or not you were able to become something that you're not. All the while people drop out of church because of who they are. They quit going to church because of who they are. Because there's something in their life they feel like is too big for God. But they don't understand this. The grace of God is way bigger than they are. The grace of God is way bigger than their limitation. The grace of God is way bigger than their weakness. The grace of God is far bigger than any trouble or trial they might have in their life. But see, instead of the preacher telling them that, the preacher says, Zacchaeus, what you need is about 10 months worth of treatment at this center over here, where we can put you on a rack and stretch you out and make you taller, because you need to be as tall as everybody else to make heaven. Am I telling the truth? That's what most churches do. No, you got to line up like everybody. You got to be just like everybody else. You got to line up just like the rest of everybody in the church. My sister, before you can come into membership of our church, we'll have to talk to you about them earrings. Now, you know their churches teach that way. You hear what I'm saying? Because you got to line up like everybody else, brother, like all put all your ducks in a row. You got to be looking and sounding and acting just like everybody else. But you know what? God's children are no less diverse. They are no less different one from another than your children are from one another. My mother's got three, all three of us. I didn't know God made three completely different directions, but we all, you know, pow, pow, pow. Three kids, and you can't say that any two of them are just alike, because we're not. And you think the family of God is any different? You think God's people are any different? You think God's children are any different? No, 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 honey. God's children are every bit as diverse. They're every bit as different one from another. That's why I like Southern gospel music. That's why I like black gospel music. That's why I like contemporary gospel music. That's why I like traditional gospel music. That's why I like, see, because I know there ain't nothing wrong with any of it. And I can appreciate all of it for what it is. Oh, but I know people, well, I can't listen to their music. I don't like their music. Well, their music's like this and that and that and this, and I don't like that. You know what I'm talking about. But you see, that's because some people act like God's church, everybody's supposed to walk, talk, and look exactly the same, instead of appreciating one another for our differences. And appreciating what each person brings to the table. I remember pastoring in the Church of God years ago, many years ago. And we had camp meeting every year in Hartford, Connecticut, because I was pastoring in Connecticut. That's where my first church was, in Connecticut. We'd have camp meeting up there in Hartford. About half the churches in our district were black churches. About half the churches were predominantly white. I wouldn't even say there were white churches, because even most of the white churches were mixed. But there were those that were black because they were mostly ethnic churches, like Jamaican or Haitian, and you know. So it was kind of an ethnic thing, you know, where they appealed to people from their specific country and their specific background, you know. But we come together for camp meeting, and boy, I'm going to tell you what. This little preacher that was my overseer, the pastor that I served my internship under, Brother Carver, he had grown up and ministered originally down in North Carolina, South Carolina, one of those states. Of course, down there, you know, everything was kind of segregated, you know. He come up to Connecticut, found out up north we don't play that mess. God's church is one church. We just have church. And we appreciate one another. And we love one another. And we appreciate what everybody brings to the table. Well, boy, I'm going to tell you, he come up, he loved it. He loved it so fast. I mean, it took him 1 year, boy. He was in love with the way we did things. He said, I never pastored a church where we had black folks. But, oh, I'll tell you, I like it. I like it a lot. Then folks bring something into the church that I like. He said, I got some of the most enthusiastic, hard-working, loving people that anybody could ever have. He said, I love it. And oh, when Sister So-and-so gets up and sings, my God, she can bring the church down. Camp meeting. We go to camp meeting. And there's old Brother Huggins and his Haitian church get up there with their choir. And they get to singing. And they're making me seasick, you know, because they like to sway when they sing. And they don't just sing this way. And they sing and they sway. And y'all can tell I don't know how to do it because my legs are all wrong. And, you know, and they're swaying and they're singing. But, boy, I'm going to tell you how the Spirit of God would move and how we'd have church. And white folk and black church and Hispanic, white folk and black folk and Hispanic folk and Asian folk, we all be shouting in the aisle. Because there ain't no color in music. There ain't no color in worship. It's all the same when it's directed up toward heaven, toward our heavenly Father. And I want you to know, I learned a long time ago to appreciate differences in people. You don't got to be just like me for me to... Sister Smith, you invite me over and you want to give me some cornbread and greens? I'm not trying to pick out, you know, quote-unquote stereotypical foods, but I mean just some of the good old-fashioned southern favorites, you know. I'd be right at home. Of course, you can tell by looking at me, I'm right at home just about any table I sit at, you know. But I want you to know, see, I appreciate what everybody brings to the table. You don't got to be like me. You don't have to serve the same menu I serve at home. If I wanted the same thing I ate at home, I'd eat at home. Amen. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to stand before God on judgment day and say, Lord, I was able to change this about myself. I was over and overcome this so that I wasn't like that anymore, and blah, 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 and I earned my place in heaven. It'll never happen. It was not necessary for Zacchaeus to be tethered to that table and then stretched at his arms and feet to attain a certain height so that he might be seen or he might see the Lord. Paul was not expected to undergo years of intense therapy, nor was Zacchaeus expected to undergo grueling and painful, torturous treatments in an effort to normalize his height and make him like everyone else. If you can't see the Lord because you are not as tall as everyone else around you, climb a tree, scale a wall, jump up and down, but for heaven's sake, do something. The love of our great God, don't you let your limitations become an obstacle that you won't overcome. And I want you to notice tonight, I said an obstacle that you won't overcome, not that you can't. Your limitations may hinder you from being able to do the task as easily or as readily as everybody else, but it doesn't have to prevent you from completing the task. Amen. I have a cousin that grew up with dyslexia. She's a smart girl. And her mother told her, Marilee, don't come home from school crying you can't do the work. Yes, you can. It may take you twice as long. It may be twice as hard, but you can do the work. Sometimes you've got to accept your limitation, but once you accept your limitation, don't let them hold you back. Now, figure out how to get beyond that limitation to get where you're going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Many people have come to believe that their situation in life bars them from the kingdom of God. And I'm here to tell you that you can climb that tree. There's nothing about you that can hold you back. It can only serve to facilitate the grace of God in your life. But it cannot keep you from knowing and serving our risen Lord unless you allow it to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. I find it interesting that the Lord used this analogy in speaking. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? The Lord pointed out, they ain't one of you to make yourself any taller. Isn't it funny that he would use that exact example? He said, ain't no one of you thinking about it. You can't sit there and go, I want to be taller, 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 and have it happen. It ain't going to happen. And in that message that he was speaking at that time, he said, therefore, don't worry about it. If it's something you don't have the power to change, don't worry about it. Don't let it trouble you. Don't let it stress you. If you're worried about having groceries on the table tomorrow, if you don't have the power to do something today about having groceries on the table tomorrow, then don't worry about it. He said, because in the final analysis, my Father, who watches the sparrows and takes care of the grass of the field, he said, in the final analysis, my daddy's watching you. He knows your situation. Don't you think he doesn't know exactly where you're at? Hallelujah. My Father knows exactly where you're sitting at tonight. He knows exactly what your situation is. So don't be worried. Be faithful. Don't be fearful. Be hopeful. Don't run about screaming. Get down on your knees and pray. Because your heavenly Father sees you. He knows what's going on with you. Zacchaeus offered to do what he could upon meeting the Lord finally face to face. For those things which he could rectify relative to his behavior and conduct, he volunteered to make restitution. For his failure to compassionately contribute to the well-being of his neighbors and fellow citizens, he vowed to give half of all he had to the poor. Who you are is one thing. But many things relative to who you are, you may be entirely unable to change. See, the Lord didn't expect Zacchaeus to change his height. Just his conduct. Just his behavior. What he could change, he could change. What he couldn't change, he couldn't change. But the Lord still received him. When you come to God, I want you to know what you can change, you can change. What you can't change, you don't have to change. God wants you to come anyhow. And he will receive you. The Lord understands. He doesn't expect you to do what you're unable to do, but what you do and how you do it. Now that's another story. When folk get saved, you know, our skin color don't change, our hair don't change, our age don't change, our eye color don't change, but I'll tell you what, the way you do things is going to change. How you go about living your life is going to change. Because when you come to know Jesus and the mind of Christ becomes a part of your life, it affects the way you see everything. That's why the Bible said that when, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Former things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not because God changed everything. No. It's because you got a new mind up in your head. And brother, now when you look at the world around you, everything looks different than it did the day before you got saved. All of a sudden, the way you do things is different. Why? Because God changed the mechanism inside of you? No! He changed a mechanism in your brain that helped you to see things different. If I do it the way I used to do it, this person might be hurt. And I'm not going to hurt this person. Now, you didn't care about it 2 days ago, but now you've had an experience with Jesus, so you care about it today. That's what changes. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm right to the very end. One face-to-face meeting with Jesus will change the way that you do things forever. Righteousness is acting right, doing right, making the right choices. That's how you define righteousness. In Acts 10, verses 34 through 35, the Apostle Peter said, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Brother, I don't care where you come from, what your background, who you are, what's your limitations. If you have a mind to do right, God will accept you. Am I telling the truth today? Amen. I know I am. Would you stand up with me? Amen. I don't try to preach real long. I try to keep it concise and to the point. Nothing worse than preaching until folks is falling off the pews and it ain't the Holy Ghost. It's slumber. I've seen preachers do that, you know. They get up there and just get to preaching and preaching and preaching. And I guess they're trying to see if they can do what Paul did till that young man fell out the window. I've seen preachers preach till people wanted to jump out the window. But I try not to do that. I try to keep it concise. Have you heard from the Lord tonight? Amen. I hope so. God wants you to know you can learn to live with your limitations. Living with limitations isn't a bad thing. Just don't let your limitations stop you from getting where you go. All right? It's all right to accept your frailties. But don't let those frailties then keep you from seeing Jesus. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. King Jesus, we thank You, God, today for this opportunity to be in the house of God. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, God, for Your anointing, for the precious presence of God that we felt in this service. Lord, let every word that's been spoken tonight penetrate deeply into our spirits. Let it help us, God, to understand the truth that we are merely making a reservation today for that wonderful, glorious day when our God and our Savior shall return and redeem us from this life and restore us unto the life that Adam knew before the fall. Master, tonight we just ask God that we would learn to live with our limitations, but not allow our limitations to hold us back from reaching out to You and knowing You. God, who we are is one thing, but what we do and how we do it is something entirely different. Help us, God, to do the right thing. We're a people that want to be righteous. We're a people that want to do the right thing. We're a people that want to walk in righteousness and holiness all the days of our life. Grant us help this hour, God, for we cannot do this in and of ourselves, but we can do it through You. Master, today, go with each and every one that's made the effort to be in this service with us tonight. We're so grateful for our visitors. Bless them, we pray. God, give them comfort at this hour, encouragement. Provide for every need they have according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, our King. We ask it, God, tonight in the lovely name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name tonight. You're dismissed. Go in peace.